Fourth and final hour of Darren and Donick on this Wednesday afternoon. At this time every week, Chris Mason joins us. Brought to you by Smoky Mountaintops, the exclusive partner of your Nashville Predators. We say hello to C-Mace. C-Mace, what's up? Or is it Vanilla Ice?
Ooh,
Ice Baby.
Mace Baby. I don't know.
Mace Baby.
I was just cutting the lawn, actually, and you guys, my music shut off, and I didn't know what was going on, and I looked at the phone, and 102.5 the game, baby.
Did you, no shirt and a gold chain? Is that what you were doing out there, working in the yard?
No, I was full dad style, shorts, runners, and a top, that's it.
Rolling with some fresh tats?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I brought that up to Hal last night in post game, and he said, I thought he looked more like George Michael on crack, and I was like, oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Oh, good stuff.
Skillsy, yeah. Unfiltered. We need that reel.
Well, I was driving home last night, and I heard that, and then I started laughing. Then I heard when you guys came back from break or from sound, and all I could hear was Skillsy laughing.
Yeah, yeah, that's – yeah, I told Willie what happened, and I'll tell you. And, yeah, once again, yeah. Skillsy okay. At his best. And I said, you're lucky I recovered. You may have had to finish things out on your own if I didn't recover.
I love that he's like, yeah, how about Pekka? He played pretty good. And then you guys are I was dying.
I had my cough button down so you could not hear me crying.
Oh, that was so funny. I was crying laughing because I didn't know exactly what, but I was dying just because I knew he probably said something skillful.
That was our version of soccer kick. Right there.
Oh, man.
I was imitating Terry Crisp. I just disappeared for a minute. I needed to recover. By the way, can we sign up for more games like last night? Not just the outcome. I get it, the 3-0 shutout. But that was really, really fast game, too.
It was fast. It was a great hockey game. You know, the Leafs were coming in. They've been kind of having a disappointing stretch. So you knew they were going to come in, bring their best. I thought they were really good, really fast. They actually played really good defensively. That's been one of their, Achilles heels the last little while. But I thought they came in. Anderson played great. Preds were awesome defensively. You know, the Maple Leafs with the caliber of players that they have, they're going to get some chances and they're going to have some zone time. But I thought the Preds did just a marvelous job defensively, just really getting in those lanes, breaking up plays. Even when plays got through, they weren't able to get much on a lot of their shots because guys had sticks tied up and good positioning. Pekka, when they did get through, he made some 10 bell saves, just out of this world. That one was save of the year as far as I'm concerned. John Tavares made a great shot and Pekka comes flying across and throws the blocker out, and then he saves the next two. So it was from a standpoint of, getting your game in order, and I think that's been the biggest issue, I think, with the Predators lately, finding that consistency, that confidence, everybody on the same page, playoff-style hockey. I really liked the game the Preds put on the ice last night.
Yeah, I was talking about the game ending at 9:20. I was, like, floored. I couldn't remember a game even coming close to ending that early. It was like fat. There weren't very many calls after like the first period and second period. Willie and I were talking about this off air. The second period flew by. I mean, it was bing bang over. 9:20. Thanks for the shutout. See ya. See ya Thursday. I was like, holy cow. So that was nice. By the way, speaking of holy cow, how about the images of it was the Nashville Arena. We talked about this in pregame. The Nashville Arena the first year, and then it became the Gaylord Entertainment Center, the GEC, the second year. But how about the pictures that you guys put up last night, the images of around the arena back then in the late 90s? Isn't it crazy to see that?
It is crazy. That's two decades right there, in the books, and just shows you the growth of the city. And even the ones when they showed inside the building, was almost unrecognizable, just the way that it looked inside the building compared to now. It's just, it's crazy. It is, it's awesome. And when you see that and pictures of Crispy and Pete and, from where this organization began and to where it's come, it was pretty, pretty cool to go to the old 90s thing last night.
Willie had hair. You had hair. I mean, things are different. My hair was darker.
Mace, I had not seen, you showed me the picture of you playing junior hockey, but your original picture, I guess it was your first training camp with the Predators. That was awesome. The video.
I was laughing. I didn't know that was going to be on until they showed it. And I was just like, oh my God, it's so funny though. It's all, I think I might even had like frosted, not frosted tips or streaks or something there.
It looked a little different color. Yeah, it was color.
Because I have like my hair, my beard's a little bit red, but I have dark brown hair.
Okay.
So I think I might have, yeah, I was a cool guy. I went and got streaks or something in the summer and came to camp with a cool guy.
Outstanding.
I told Hal on the radio broadcast, because they showed my picture playing, and this was early 90s, mm-hmm. before it started to go, so I had the full flow. And I had a little Roman Yossi thing going.
Yeah,
there.
I don't really like you. You keep comparing yourself to Roman Yossi. I think that's a little bit of a stretch.
You're his hair double. You're his hair double.
No?
Yeah, well, you like the stunt double. Like, it's not quite the Roman Yossi, but you're the one who, if they're doing like a stunt, you go in there because you could pass from like a distance as the Roman Yossi hair guy.
Yeah. I think all of us would like to compare ourselves, come on, to Roman Yossi. That's a little bit of a stretch
I'm
there.
I'm just saying hair, not athleticism.
In fairness to Willie, though, it was a good quaff, and we didn't have the same styling, stuff they do now. You go into supercuts or do it yourself or whatever back then. So, you know, I don't know. It's like we say in sport, it's hard to compare eras. So maybe Willie's was the 90s version of the 2019.
I was ahead of my time.
You're saying he wasn't using the Flowbee back then. The new guys seem to be fitting in quite nicely.
The new guys, yes. And, you know, it's Brian Boyle, you know, he's obviously had a little bit longer to get acclimated. He's come in and just everything and more than you thought he would be. And it's hard when you get guys from the East, too, because you just don't see them frequently enough. You know they're good players. You know Brian Boyle's a physical guy, penalty kill, all this kind of stuff. But you just don't see it that much. Same with Wayne Simmonds. No, he's a competitor, tough, good in front of the net, good skill level, all these types of things. But when you get to see it every night, getting kind of bringing a really different element that the Predators haven't had in the last few years to that level, and just seeing the difference that they make in these games, and now that things are starting to, you know, come around, you can just foreshadow how valuable players like Brian Boyle and Wayne Simmonds are going to be come playoff time.
Mace, do you see any adjustments that they've made? Because these last two games, they've played elite offensive teams among the top five goal scoring teams per game in the league, and they've done a very good job defending them. They have had to make some big saves, but they've controlled the amount of chances they've given up. Have they changed or adjusted the way they're playing at all?
Well, the biggest thing that I think is, you know, when you can't play well defensively unless everybody is committed to playing well defensively. You know, you can't have two guys on the ice at a time or three or even four, and you need every single person to buy in. And I really feel like they've, as a group, has said, okay, if we want to win the playoffs, we've got to lock it down. You know, there's no team that will win the Stanley Cup that doesn't defend well. And I think, you know, now's the time that everybody's, you know, kind of really committed to defense first. And it's funny when you do that, they've had more chances in the last three games than I can remember for a long stretch of games before that. Last night was a different story. I thought it was a tight hockey game. Both didn't get a ton. But I still think they're creating more offense because of how well they're defending. And I just think that you look at their roster, you look at the leadership in the room, it's just a conscious decision to say, from the team, just say, all right, now, you know, enough's enough. Let's get back to our identity. Let's start defending. And then it's just funny how other things fall into place when you do that. So it's been really nice the last couple of games to watch how well they've done defensively.
Darren and I were looking at the calendar. The Penguins are the last team that the Predators will play this season. In other words, they've played all the other 30 teams, or I guess 29 teams. And they've got two meetings with the Penguins, and both of the meetings last year were at the very beginning of the season. In fact, the second game of the season was against the Penguins, and then early November, right after the Kyle Turris trade, was the game in Nashville. So it's been a long time since we've seen Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh's lost the last two games in overtime, but for the most part, they've been playing very, very well, as you would expect at this time of year.
Yeah, and that's a team that's, you know, maybe they're not the upper echelon, you know, the Tampa Bays, the Bostons now, but they're a team that has so many guys that been there, done that. They know how to win. They know how to turn it off. That year they won the Stanley Cup. You know, they got the terrible start, actually both years, and they just, when they decide to turn it on, they know how to win, and they're back to that brand of hockey. Obviously, said the last couple of games, couple losses, no OT, but they're still playing well. So, again, it's part of the gauntlet that the Predators are going through, and you know, going into this, you're a little bit worried just because of how the Preds were playing, but, you know, now you look at it, and this could be the best thing the Preds could have asked for, it is to have this level of competition going down, you know, the final however many games. So it's always a good one. Now you got a little history there with the Stanley Cup final, so it's going to be a good way to finish off and to go into this week.
And it would seem to be the same formula. Elite offensive team, averaging about 3.4 goals a game, but they do give up their share of goals. They give up their share of chances. They can outgun you a lot of times. It sounds pretty similar to San Jose, and it sounds pretty similar to Toronto.
Yeah, and that's what I like about this is, you know, when you have that team in front of you, you know, as a team before you go out that night, you're like, guys, we, you know, San Jose, Toronto, we have to lock it down. Otherwise, bad things could happen because they have so much firepower. And Pittsburgh's the same thing. Stay out of the box, discipline, good neutral zone. If you don't, you know, if it's a 50-50 battle, that you're calculating the risk-reward, making sure that you have numbers back. If you see a defenseman up in the play while the forwards are covering back and otherwise, you know, they don't need many opportunities to score and to bury us. So I just really think that, you know, having these teams right now is really a good thing for the Preds, because you can just see when they decide to elevate their level, when they have to do it. And, you know, the response of the team the last two games has just been, it couldn't have been any better, to be honest with you. So I expect more of the same tomorrow.
Interesting parallel now as we count down to the game with the Jets on Saturday as well. You got a big one for the Predators against the Penguins, as we've talked about. Winnipeg is on a Western swing. They have Anaheim tonight and then at Vegas tomorrow night. So when the Predators come up to Winnipeg, they'll come home off of a pretty rigorous road trip out west. So a couple of big games for the Jets the next couple of nights.
Yeah, you know, they're doing their thing. It seems like they're coming around too. To me, that's the game for the Central Division. If the Predators want any chance of winning the Central, they have to win that game in Winnipeg. You know, obviously Pittsburgh first, try to take care of that. But if you want a chance, any chance to win the Central, you've got to win that Winnipeg game. So I expect it to be another war. It was actually both teams when they played the last time around. I thought they're both struggling, but I thought both teams really came and competed, and it was, you know, kind of more of what you're used to seeing from the Preds and Jets. So we'll see. We'll keep an eye on Winnipeg, obviously, as at this time of year, you got to watch every night and who everyone's playing and how the outcomes and everything. But that's the Central Division right there. If the Preds are gonna, win it, they have to win that game.
Remember we talked last week and said it's time to change the narrative so I can stop asking you the same questions every week. Well, they've quietly strung together five out of their last seven, so things maybe are turning for the better and they can finish strong like everybody's been kind of waiting for.
Yeah, and you know, even if you go into these games and you know, maybe you know the probability of winning out the rest of the season is not, you know, not very likely, but even if you play the way that they're playing and you come up short, you lose a game to one of these teams, it's about how you're playing. You know, I tweeted out one the other game. It's not necessarily just about winning. It's about how you win. And I really liked how they've won the last two games. And even if they came up short in one of those games, I still like the way that they're playing. You're not going to go in the playoffs. You know, the series are most likely, especially in the West, they're going to go a fair length. You're not going to sweep every team you play, but it's how you play. And I think, you know, the Predators as a group, getting the new guys acclimated, I think they're starting to figure that out. You got some other line combinations that look really good. The defensive pairs are shaping up and playing well, and the goalies, you know, you need it all, and right now they're getting it.
Chris Mason every week brought to you by Smoky Mountaintops, the exclusive partner of the Nashville Predators. That's the right music to end with. Mace, baby. If you want to see him, he's doing some yard work. No shirt and some gold chains.
But yeah. Does he have the 90s wig on?
Does he still have the flow going? No. Don't know. No?
Here, letting the balls just go today.
Chris, always a pleasure. Thanks as always. We'll see you tomorrow.
All right. See you guys. Take care.
Chris Mason, Willie's partner in the TV booth. By the way, the Winter Classic logo is out on the Predator side. We'll tell you who they have featured. And on the Stars side, we'll do that. Craig Smith at the bottom of the hour. More of Darren and Donick next. Winter Classic 2020, January 1st, Dallas, Texas, Cotton Bowl. Logos out. Featuring the Dallas Stars, Sagan and Ben. No surprise there. On the Predator side, have you seen the logo?
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask you if you thought who you thought the two players would be. Because I think this would be an interesting case study, right? If you asked enough people, I think you would get a variety of answers. But it was a pair of defensemen on the Predator side. The captain, Roman Josi. I don't think anybody would be surprised there, but Roman Josi and PK Subban featured on the Predator side. So that is the logo that is out for the Winter Classic in Dallas. They're having a press conference today, right? Gary Bettman and everybody at the Cotton Bowl.
I think that's
2 o'clock,
yeah,
right?
I think that's true.
I don't know exactly what they're going to say. Did I see this logo right? Is it going to be aired on NBC Sports Network? I thought it was always aired on NBC, the Winter Classic. No? It looked like it was the NBC Sports Network logo.
I don't see any NBC Sports Network on the logo.
Down below, the one I was looking at. No?
I don't think so.
Okay. Good. I hope I'm looking at that wrong.
I'm pretty sure it's on NBC.
But that is going to be on January 1st. And, you know, what does that first round matchup look like? Because it is interesting to see how the shuffle. Dallas continues to play really, really good hockey. Ben Bishop has been lights out for the Stars. By the way, Alexander Radulov has been red hot of late, right? He has been playing really, really good hockey for the Stars. He's got, what, 25, 26 goals now for them? But you have St. Louis in third with 84 points, but Dallas, that first wild card team, with 82, and they've almost positioned themselves almost to kind of lock in. Like, the worst they could do would be that final wild card spot, because Arizona's the final wild card team and they're 4 points back. Minnesota outside looking in, 1 point back from Arizona. Colorado, 2 points out from that final wild card spot.
At this point, it's hard to envision St. Louis and Dallas missing. I think they're both.
If they're
on track, they're going to be in this thing.
An epic collapse.
And the way it is shaping up, one of them is going to play the Jets and one of them is going to be against the Predators in the first round. It's really moving in that direction with every passing night. The question is, because they both of those slots could shuffle.
Now, wait
right?
a minute. Now, why wouldn't the Pacific Division winner play? Oh, no, they're going to get the
they
last
will get
team.
The last get wild the last card, which
right.
would
point.
Be
yep.
a battle between Arizona, Minnesota, Colorado, and outside shot Chicago. So that's who the Pacific winner will likely
yep.
play. The Central winner is going to play whoever finishes the lowest between St. Louis and Dallas. It looks like it's, you know, so there's now a sub-level beginning to build there. So similar types of teams, and you start asking yourself, who would you rather play? Who's a better matchup? But you know what's happening? Because Dallas and St. Louis are both surging, whoever wins the Central certainly doesn't get a huge... There's not a big difference between Dallas and St. Louis. Would you agree? In the first round? Both would be tough outs.
Nope.
Now, you say if you're Nashville, well, St. Louis has had much more head-to-head success against the
Predators
than Dallas.
Well, yeah, but the Predators have not fared well in Dallas. In Dallas. They just haven't over the years.
Well, this year they won both in Dallas.
Yeah, but they in the past, I'm saying they haven't had huge success down there.
Yeah. But either way, both of those teams... kind of similar, you know, elite offensive weapons, but not quite as much depth of scoring, but very good defensive teams that have come up with a very good defensive formula. So it's not like one team, the winner of the Central is just going to breeze through the first round, and the two versus three is going to be a mismatch either. The 2 versus 3 will be a tough one. The Jets and the Predators will be favored in the first round, but not overwhelming favorites like last year, where last year you kind of knew, barring a ridiculous upset, Minnesota came in limping into the playoffs.
Yes.
You knew that they didn't have much of a chance against the Jets. And then you had Colorado, which was a great story just to make it. But at that time, that was not a...
Right. They were also going up against the two best teams in the regular season.
Exactly.
So, and those
exactly.
two.
So this year,
different.
The first round is going to be a little bit of a different yep. feel this year.
Tampa, you throw it out for them because they kind of qualify for every answer, right? Anything good, it's the Tampa Bay Lightning. So take them out of the equation. Do you know who, after Tampa, has the next best goal differential in the league? And it's really not even – they're like second all by themselves. Do you know who it is?
Is it Calgary?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Their goal differential – they're a plus 52. Like, they are in second, and it's not even close. That just tells you – and by the way, Tampa's like a plus 96.
Yeah.
I mean, it's absurd.
Calgary's had everything go right, and everybody keeps looking at their goalies saying
– nobody trusts them. Why?
They just keep doing it.
They may be the number one seed in the Western Conference, and yet nobody trusts them. You know who else reminds me of that a couple years ago? That would be the Dallas Stars. They were the number one seed, and nobody trusted them.
Yeah, yeah.
So there may be a little bit of that going on.
It's been a while since they've had any kind of playoff success, Calgary. So they'll be an interesting one seed. Now, also keep this in mind as we look at the Central Division race. As Mace pointed out, the Predators really have their backs to the wall here because the Jets have the two games in hand. So this game on Saturday, if the Predators are to win the Central, got to have that game, I would say. The other reason, too, is look to keep in mind is the row, the tiebreaker. Let's say they both end up with 100 points or 102 points, whatever it would be. Winnipeg's got the tiebreaker. It's not head-to-head. It is the regulation or overtime wins. Nashville, can you believe we're saying this, has won a bunch of games in the shootout.
Yep, they have.
Which is great. Remember that when they could not find a way to win a shootout, they went through years like, what do they have
in
to
fact,
do to
I'm
win a shootout?
Boldly predicting on Monday, they'll go to St. Paul and they'll beat the Wild in a shootout. I'm boldly predicting that right now.
But the only issue with the shootout win, it's still a win, but it doesn't, in a tiebreaker situation, the team that has won more games in regulation or in overtime has the tiebreaker. So the tiebreaker right now will go to the Jets.
We will come back and catch up with Crazy Legs Craig Smith. That's coming up next on 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren and Donick, Darren McFarland, Willie Donick here on this Wednesday afternoon. We say hello to Crazy Legs. Craig Smith is on the line with us. Craig, what's up?
Guys, how we doing?
You know, it's too bad you weren't playing San Jose this weekend, because maybe if it would have worked out, you could have snuck away in San Jose, but that would be kind of hard to pull this off. I get it. But sneak away and see Wisconsin play, and then play your game against the Sharks.
That would have been cool. That would have been cool. Not very often do they kind of cross paths like that, but that'd be pretty neat.
So they have the Ducks first round. Are you feeling good about it?
Yeah, I mean, they always have a pretty good showing. I mean, I love getting together and watching the game, but I haven't watched too closely throughout the year, so I kind of got to get all caught up before the game start.
I'm trying to think of the time. What, Willie? It's going to be what, Friday afternoon, mid to late? You guys will probably still be in the air, or maybe getting close to landing in the peg. So maybe you could check out some there at the hotel before you go get dinner Friday night. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, they got to do work, man. they got to get in there and get the lead. So when I turn it on, when I get in there, you know, I'll put a happy face.
No doubt about it. What has really worked for this combination the last three games? Your line has really stood out. Why has it worked so well?
I think it's a combination of just work ethic. I think I don't know. So, I mean, sometimes you get guys together and it just kind of it works for some reason. We just keep finding each other on the ice. I think you know, we work to create turnovers, and I think with our speed on our line. And I think, you know, we're extremely opportunistic. We want to turn up and get going. So, you know, the more turnovers we create, the more chances we'll have.
It's a real credit to the room, and you've been in that room now for a good while. So you've been a part of this, and you've seen the new faces come and faces go. But, you know, I always enjoy asking the new guys, and Granlin came up for postgame up in Barrow House with Hal and I last night, and I asked him about getting acclimated to the room, and Granlin just really lit up. I mean, he you could tell he was, one, he's really enjoying this experience to this point. But I kind of feel like everybody gives the same answer. It's easy for you to just to blend in and fit right in. Like, you guys make it easy for the new guys to come into a room.
Yeah, well, I mean, first and foremost, we got a lot of Finns in that room, so he probably likes that. But yeah, I mean, we have such a great group of guys. I mean, I think everybody just wants to. Everybody wants everybody to feel like, you know, they have a place here, and it's and to feel comfortable. I mean, there's nothing worse than feeling comfortable and feeling uncomfortable somewhere you don't want to be. So, I mean, this is a wonderful place to play, and I think everybody knows that. Everybody wants to have fun and you know, appreciate the guys that we play with. So, I mean, everyone's happy. You know, you play better that way.
Yeah, and I bring that up because I think we take for granted that, you know, it's, oh, well, it's just got to be like that everywhere. And that's not the case. It's not every room is like that. I mean, there are some rooms I've heard guys say when I was, you know, playing, and so it was cliquish, you know, or that everybody kind of broke off into groups. And so not every room is like, because I feel like everybody says the same response about your room.
Yeah, I think that it's a huge compliment to the group that we have. I think everybody wants to, everybody wants to feel welcome, and I think we do a great job of that, because there's no other way to do it. I mean, the teams that come together the fastest and do something special are the guys that are willing to kind of put themselves out there and lend a helping hand to a guy he doesn't know. If he needs help around the city or something like that, you know, that all factors into it, especially when you get down to the end of a season. I think that you get to know guys a little bit quicker, and if you're cliquish and you're doing your own thing all the time, and you just don't get to know guys that well, and that kind of hurts chemistry.
Speaking of the new guys, they seem like they're blending in well on the ice as well. Everybody has scored now. Brian Boyle has racked up 5 goals already since joining you guys. Simmons breaks through last night. Granlin broke through a home game last week. So it seems like the new guys are having an impact pretty early on. How have you felt thus far with the play out on the ice with those guys?
I like it. I mean, they're all exceptional players. I think there's a little bit of time for adjustment. I mean, there's the structure of you know, our systems, things just get so detailed nowadays. It's just it's really hard to kind of turn it over in a day or two and try to grasp it. I've done such a good job at kind of picking up on things. I think you know, like I said, with our group being so open and welcoming, I mean, I think that, you know, guys have no problem talking to each other and that's what's going on. But at the end of the day, it's about making the read and making a hockey play, and they're great hockey players.
I felt like the Sharks game, and maybe we can come back and revisit that down the road. Maybe it's not the time, but I feel like that game could be maybe a turning point for you guys heading in the right direction as you're getting ready to wrap up the regular season. That was a big win in a tough environment, a tough place on Saturday night. Did you feel the same? I feel like there was a carryover last night with your shutout win over Toronto.
Yeah, no, especially. I mean, that was one we marked on the calendar, especially going through that trip as a really big game. That place is always it's always a tough place to play there, and that team's always giving us a headache. So, I thought it was exceptional. I thought there was a lot of things in our game that were awesome. We played with a lot of passion, and you know, we were able to establish a lot of zone time against that team. So it was great. It felt like we played the right way. So, you know, that's kind of what we're looking for right now. Everybody's kind of coming together, and that's just one more stepping stone. I'm feeling a little bit better going into playoffs.
Greg Smith is with us, Nashville Predators winger. And, Greg, along the lines of playing the right way, it seems like the team in these last couple of games has found the balance of that offensive attack where you want to be aggressive, but also having the balance on defense and not giving up too much going the other way. It's always a fine line, isn't it? All those little decisions that have to be made to try to get that balance.
Yeah, you know, I think so. I mean, I definitely see what you're saying. I mean, there's a balance between playing desperate defensively and playing creative towards the other end. I think, you know, when you get both of those to kind of come together, you know, with a little bit of passion and some piss and vinegar, you know, you get what you like. So, you know, we've liked what we had the last couple games. I think we've had a good blend of that, but I think that's what we've been looking for the last 20 games. I think it's kind of been up and down. Have a couple games that we kind of see it here and there for a few, but you know, the last couple games it's been a little bit more consistent where we want it. You know, I think that just that all comes to prepare you know, how we prepare and come out for the first period.
Greg, I speaking of another theme of this interview here, Darren talking about welcoming new guys, and another thing that happened today, of course, Austin Watson rejoined the group. He was on the ice for practice, talked about how appreciative he was that the organization has stuck by him, the person. And I know it's going to be day by day on the hockey stuff. That will take care of itself in time. But I know you guys probably had to be really happy to see him get to this point and get back with you guys.
Sure. Yeah. It's been an interesting year. I'm sure on his part. So there's a lot of, you know, I said it, he's gone through a lot here. So I think from here on out, you know, we got to finish these next, you know, we got to finish this week out strong. This would be a huge week for our team. And, you know, I'm really excited for the games ahead. I think it's going to be a good test for us and to kind of see where we're at going forward.
No question. Tomorrow, as you mentioned, you got an elite team. Can't even look ahead to Saturday. We know how big that one's going to be. But now you've got the Pittsburgh Penguins coming into town. And it seems to me, and you tell me if you think it's a different approach, how they do it as opposed to the teams you've just faced. But they look kind of similar to me to Toronto and San Jose. So high octane with the offense that you really have to be on point to beat those guys.
Yeah, I mean, especially with Toronto. I mean, the long game is definitely there. I think that they're when their D get it, I think they have enough speed, enough skill to kind of take off and make plays. And I mean, even we played them in the playoffs a couple of years back. I thought they were one of the best teams that. Chipping pucks to areas and kind of run and gun game with their forwards, so it's tough to defend. I mean, it's you know, they got a lot of good players over there.
90s theme last night in the building, Craig. Some music. What's your wheelhouse? Because I don't know if 90s music was really your wheelhouse, but what would be a couple of your favorites?
I think Smitty would be like classics. 90s are sort of classics for him.
Yeah.
For us, it'd be like unreal. What we grew up with,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was kind of more our wheelhouse, but but what would be yours?
Oh, man. Like, I'm trying to think.
Like, do you like the grunge? The grunge bands like Nirvana and Pearl Jam and those?
I really did. I liked the grunge. But I really liked, I'm trying to, Whoop, There It Is. Like, honestly, when we came off the warm-up, like, that one was a big one for me.
They did a good job with the music last night. They had the whole gamut. Cover they hit everything.
It was good. I was pumped up. It'll jump around in there.
Yeah, we'll got to do that for the Badgers, right? Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, it was a cool theme. I've never seen that. I didn't really know what was going on until the music started, and I was like, what's going on? Because it wasn't our typical music, so it was great to see. We had our you know, the announcers all dressed up and everything, so it was great.
All right, Smitty, here you go. For the Badgers, this is the one guy you got to know when you watch the basketball game, if the timing works here. Ethan Happ, one of the best players in the country. He's the leader for the Badgers, and he's got to be the guy that gets it done for them when they play Oregon.
He's got to be a monster.
Number 22, long and lean. He's a really good player, so that's the guy you got to focus on.
Right on. I hope he's putting up 40. So,
are you guys doing the brackets? Are you guys going to fill out a bracket?
Yeah, I got to fill mine out here this afternoon.
Okay.
Yeah, we got him going this year, so we're
is exciting. It's exciting to watch it. So
I noticed you didn't say "Right Said Fred." So no, I'm too sexy.
Nash was dancing to that one.
Did he
miss that one? Yeah.
Okay, I missed that.
He had a little routine to that.
Is that where he took off his shirt? Okay,
yeah.
And he had the six pack.
Yep.
He wore
the original jersey from 98-99, blue.
It was fun last night. Definitely a fun night in the house. We'll be back at it tomorrow night. That's where we'll be, back over Bridgestone tomorrow as the Predators take on the Penguins. Then it'll be Winnipeg and Minnesota and Pittsburgh again for a three-game road trip before returning home for a quick home game and then an away game and then two home games to finish out the regular season. I'm not prepared. I've been thinking about it all day. We've been talking to a lot of people. We've talked about Maryland. We've talked about Colgate. We've gone to their play-by-play man, people that cover them. Talk to Belmont, their guard. I'm trying to figure out, because tonight I'm going to make the picks. Going to make the bracket. You just heard Craig Smith. They're going to be picking. Now, I don't know how I should have probably tried to nail him down. Like, how far are you going to pick Wisconsin? Are you just going to pick your heart and you're going to have the Badgers go all the way? Or are you trying to win, or are you just going to pick with your heart? Like, I'm trying to win. I don't pick with my heart. I try to win, and I'm not prepared today to go out on the limb like I did Monday about Belmont's victory. Maybe tomorrow when we start the show at 10, maybe that happens. But right now, I'm not ready. I need to look over Maryland some more. I've got to be honest. There's some things in that interview I was like, I don't like that. There were some things about the Terrapins. I didn't love the matchup.
The key is the middle.
That doesn't mean I'm not going to pick Belmont. I'm saying I need to think about this a little bit more tonight. I need to look over some things some more before. And then tomorrow we'll tell everybody because by the time you get up there tomorrow, action will have tipped.
Oh man,
the NCAA
what's the first
tournament.
Game? What's the first
like
game?
11-10.
Do we know what the first game is going to be?
Well, just give me a second and I will tell you.
We need to know what games are going on while our show is going on.
Well, one of them I think is going to be Cincinnati. The first tip is going to be Minnesota and Louisville at Wells Fargo Arena in Des Moines.
Richard Pitino against Louisville?
Richard Pitino against Louisville. Now, Dan Dockage said there was – what was the kid's name from Minnesota? He's like, boy, that guy is pretty. Woo! He will wow you if you see him up close. I'm drawing blanks on the kid from Minnesota.
Well, Minnesota played a heck of a Big Ten tournament, got a big win against Purdue to knock them off, and then, of course, laid a big egg against Michigan in the semifinals. I think you're talking about Jordan Murphy, or is it Daniel Oturu that he's talking about, 6'10", 225?
Yeah, that's the kid he was talking about.
They got some big guys.
Well, he said Minnesota's one of those. Remember, we were talking about the wow factor when you see him courtside.
Louisville's battle-tested, though. I mean, they had many tough games. Now, they didn't win very many.
I was going to say, this is the problem. They don't know how to close out games. Sound familiar?
Yeah.
They have troubles closing out games. They have the, bleep factor. That's what happened a lot. They got bit a lot this season because they couldn't finish.
Against elite teams, against very good teams.
You're in the NCAA tournament. You're going to be playing more than likely.
Yeah, but Minnesota is sort of like them.
No, you're right. They're not elite. So that's a 7-10 matchup. Actually, Minnesota's the lower seed. So that's 11-15. So that'll be the first tip tomorrow. Then about a little bit less than 30 minutes later will be Yale and LSU down in Jacksonville. And then the second hour of our show, we've got New Mexico State and Auburn tipping out in Salt Lake City. And then right to begin the fourth and final hour, Vermont and Florida State, and also Bradley and Michigan State will tip before we get out of there tomorrow. So those are the games that will be going on.
Bradley, Michigan State looks a bit like a mismatch.
Yep.
Florida State against Vermont, you talk about two very contrasting styles, that would be the case there. A lot of people are really intrigued by the New Mexico State-Auburn game for sure. And then The one that is a total mystery is, we talked to Dan Dockich before, what happens with LSU? What do they look like out on the floor? If it resembles what it looked like in the SEC tournament, and that game's close down the stretch, wow.
Rut-row.
And you are going to have what building are they playing in? Where is that game? The LSU game?
That's Jacksonville.
That's Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many fans LSU will have there. Yale probably won't have very many, but everybody else's fans, who are they going to be rooting for if that game's close? They're going to jump on the underdog's bandwagon. Don't you think? That's usually what happens.
Who plays in that arena?
Jacksonville?
Yeah.
What? University of Jacksonville?
That's what I'm saying. What arena? Is it just a standard arena, or whose home is that?
That's a good question. They don't have a big-time team, obviously.
Right.
When Jacksonville used to be in the Atlantic Sun, I went with the Belmont team down to Jacksonville to call the game, but they played in a tiny high school-looking gym. I mean, it was awful. So I'm not
sure. Because some of the bigger schools, you know, UCF is Orlando.
Right.
South Florida's Tampa.
Right.
So some of the bigger schools, you know, Florida Atlantic, they're way down southern Florida. There's not a big school in. So I'm wondering who uses that arena?
Civic Center. Concerts?
Yeah. Guess so.
Guess they can put a floor down. Guess they got a couple backboards down there somewhere in the arena.
And then when we get off the air, the good news is we'll be able to find a place and watch Belmont and Maryland tomorrow, because that tips around, like I said, about 2:15 tomorrow.
Very nice. It's all coming together.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
And Northeastern Kansas is in the afternoon, too.
That is. Check that one out. That's at 3.
All the
Murray State Marquette, 3:30.
Ooh. There's another one.
In Hartford.
I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, I got Murray State in that one.
Now you are all over Murray State.
I have scouted. My scouts.
You are not impressed with Marquette.
Well, they're a very good team, but they have not played well down the stretch.
Nope. Sometimes that plays out, and then sometimes all of a sudden teams that look like crap down the stretch turn it on. You never know.
It's a new season.
It is, and that'll do it for us. It'll be a new show tomorrow over at Bridgestone Arena. Have a great rest of your day. We will talk to you then. 10 a.m. We'll see you then.